Welcome everyone, we're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, HSP Shir number 9. That's Highly Sensitive People, Shir number 9. Having a sensitive nervous system that highly sensitive people have is quite normal. It's a basic neutral trait. Often it's genetic, inherited, and it occurs in about 15 to 20% of the population. Even though they feel isolated, because this 15% of the population is usually spread out all over. And in addition, as we're going to explain, the culture of most goes against the grain of what HSPs actually are. But what does it mean? Again, it means being aware of subtleties in your surroundings, which could be a great advantage in many situations. But at the same time, the challenge of it is, as we mentioned, you become easily overwhelmed when you've been out in a highly stimulating environment for too long, when you are bombarded or feel bombarded by sights and by sounds until you're exhausted. In your nervous system, you're sort of exhausted. So therefore, being sensitive like this has both advantages and disadvantages. In our culture, what I mean is American culture, certainly, possessing this trait is not considered ideal. And therefore, it has a major impact on you. Now, there's this woke mentality in America and in Europe and other places where sensitivity and vulnerability is more accepted. But over there, in that culture, it's actually poison. That's not what it means. Very often, they're so self-centered that they're sensitivity is really warped anyway. Overall, this is in our culture and even in the Jewish culture in many areas of Orthodox Judaism. Until very recently, this trait was not considered ideal, considered very much a weakness in many circles. It is changing, Baruch Hashem, for the better, but there's still a lot of work to be done. Most times, well-meaning parents, teachers would likely say, you know, you need to overcome this as if it was some type of a defect. Now, people who learn more the Musar, the way Rabbi Saul Salanter and his Talmidim designed how Musar should be learned, not the real sharp Musar, but the more softer, deeper concepts of Musar. Like the Slobodka line of the Alta von Slobodka and others, as well as Hasidus overall. When you learn these aspects of Taira, we come to realize that the sensitivity aspects and Midos are very, very profoundly important. And it goes a far way to make sensitivity in a healthy way become a maila and not a chasarin. And very often, again, for those that are less sensitive, they are not HSPs, it's very likely that you have a child or a parent or a spouse or a friend that is one. There's different levels of sensitivity. 15%, as we say, are the really highly sensitive. Then there's another 20 or 22% that are moderately sensitive. But the bulk are not sensitive at all or very little. And they need work the opposite way to develop healthy sensitivity. It seems to be that there's as many males and as females pertaining to the sensitivity aspects. But men, in a way, is harder. They're not supposed to possess that trait. It's the opposite of what is deemed masculine to be have that extreme sensitivity is certainly not deemed as a masculine trait that men ought to have. They're supposed to be stronger and more, forthcoming that way, which inherently actually is a positive thing. Men need that in their natures. But so when they have this sensitivity, it's quite difficult to adapt to. Now, in the book by Elaine Aron, The Highly Sensitive Person, it goes through a four-fold approach that is going to be discussed at length in the book that we're going to review. But these are the four aspects of the therapy and the work that a highly sensitive person can learn and train himself, herself to develop, to heal and to become balanced. Number one is self-knowledge. Self-knowledge means you understand what it means to be an HSP. You understand it thoroughly, which is one of the main purposes of this shiur, of this series of shiurim on this subject, to understand what it means thoroughly. And for those that are non-HSPs, to understand their child, who is one, their parent, their spouse, who is one, their Talmud, whoever it may be, to understand it. Because society still has a quite negative attitude about sensitivity that affects us greatly. You need to know how your body is sensitive to these cues. And if you ignore that, it may seem that you're weak. Sometimes you need more rest. You need more alone time. You need more to recharge your batteries. It seems that you could do less in productivity than others can in certain situations when your sensitivity is flooded. So you need to know yourself very well, self-knowledge. So that's number one. Self-knowledge is actually a key to any person's type of growth, which is lacking very much because we right away jump into, oh, let's fix this or that without even understanding why you need to fix something or if you need to fix something at all. Number two, the second aspect of therapy or work for HSP is reframing. Reframing is extremely powerful. It is certainly a tremendous key of healing for everybody, actually, or for highly sensitive people in particular, where you basically reframe actively your past in the light of the fact that you know that you came into this world as a highly sensitive person. So many of the failures that you experienced in the past, putting failures in quotations, because they were not really failures, they were learning experiences, but many of those quote-unquote failures were inevitable. Why? Because you never understood yourself, your parents never understood you, your teachers never understood you, your friends never understood you, and your colleagues never understood you. Your coworkers never understood you, and your employers never understood you. Therefore, now that you know what you know, reframing means you experience your past based on the lens of what you know now about yourself. That leads to healthy self-esteem, which is extremely important for HSPs, and it'll decrease the over-arousal in new highly stimulating situations. Reframing is not automatic. There are activities and exercises to work on this reframing of understanding your past through the lens of what you are and who you are. This reframing is a key, by the way, for everybody. Bezras Hashem, when Hashem helps, I should really give separate shiurim on reframing. People have trouble getting through their past or even accepting that process of tshuva because they lack this ability and skill of reframing things, of taking a negative and putting it, not that it disappeared, but rather you use it now as an inherent beautiful value to grow. And that brings healing. So there's a lot to talk about reframing. Deserves a separate shiurim on its own, even a separate series, frankly, because this truly, truly creates healing and growth. Healing in the person's own personal life, in their marriage, certainly most shalom bayis problems, 90% of them, by working on themselves, self-knowledge, and then reframing it, looking at the negative experiences of the past with a compassion based on the knowledge that you know now. And that is truly healing. So self-knowledge is one, reframing is two. The third process is healing. What does healing mean? Healing your deeper wounds. You were very sensitive as a child, and that may have caused some family issues, school issues, illnesses, and they're affected more. You felt different than other children. And HSPs, especially sensing their intense feelings, may hold back from the inner work necessary to heal from the wounds of the past. So you need to be cautious. You need to take it slow. But if you delay, you are denying yourself a big bracha. You're denying yourself a goodness and a beauty of what you could accomplish. So yes, take it slow. Yes, take these baby steps. Don't jump into things, especially if you've been hurt before. But not to hide away from it, but to move forward. So that's number three, healing. Number four is to help with feeling okay when out in the world and learning when to be less out of the world. Which means like this. It is healthy as a human being and as a Jew to be involved in the world because the world needs you. Hashem puts you on the world, no matter how introverted you may be or highly sensitive that you may be, to contribute to other people. They need you. Of course, for many, they have a trouble underdoing it. They stay in their own box. Very often, they overdo it. So there's a way to learn that healthy balance between them. So we're going to talk at length about all these four aspects. And then recognize how that's going to help with therapy. Elaine Aaron talks about herself, that she used to hide from the chaos of her family. She avoided sports, she avoided games, she avoided kids in general. And this avoidance created a certain relief for her, but also a humiliation. Why humiliation? Because the strategy worked. She detached and she was indeed totally ignored. HSPs tend to see that. They pull away because they need to cope. But when they pull away, they realize no one chases after them. They isolate themselves and people begin not to pay attention, not care. And they listen to you. Hey, you wanted to detach from the world? No problem. So you'll detach from all of us. And that is a real key. Sometimes an extrovert will take this HSP under his or her wing. Then they go through high school, it gets more difficult. They go through college or seminary or Beis Medrash, whatever, gets even more difficult. And very often they go isolate themselves and they cry in their own rooms thinking they're going crazy. By the way, Elaine Aaron says that research has found that retreating like this into your own room and crying on your own is very typical of HSPs. So this that is thought to be abnormal behavior is actually quite normal and understandable. Some people, highly sensitive people, need to retreat and cry to regain a certain calmness. Very often, they drop out of school because it's overwhelming. So it's very, very important to understand these things, to recognize the patterns, give yourself some leeway, chesed for yourself, but also not running away from things. You'll have arousing events that cannot be avoided. Some people have to undergo medical procedures, other things that is hard. But sometimes when a therapist or a teacher just says, of course you're upset, you're a highly sensitive person, that is insulting. Why is it insulting? Because sensitivity of this nature is not a sign of a mental flaw. It's not a disorder. And when a therapist looks at a highly sensitive person, they'll recognize this is a person that is really worth knowing as a person. They have value. And therefore, it's important for every highly sensitive person to develop that sense of mission, to go back to enjoying their healthy imagination, their balanced and healthy empathy, creativity, insights that they themselves don't appreciate, but others do. And you re-enter the world and take pleasure in giving. Very often it's so sad, many HSPs feel that they're not worthy of contributing to anything. And that is really so untrue. So therefore, it's very important to work on these healing aspects, which we're going to talk about more in depth in the book, self-knowledge, and then reframing, and then healing, and then helping with feeling okay when out in the world, learning when to be less out of the world, and learning that healthy balance. Bracha v'atzlacha. Okay, so at the end of this chapter from this Elaine Aaron book, really the introduction, it gives a certain self-test. I'm just going to read this off very quickly, but for those of you who don't have the book, and if a lot of them are more marked off that you resonates with you, then you most likely have this highly sensitive nature. Number one, I seem to be aware of subtleties in my environment. Other people's moods affect me. I tend to be very sensitive to pain. I find myself needing to withdraw during busy days into bed or into a darkened room or any place where I can have some privacy and relief from stimulation. I am particularly sensitive to the effects of caffeine. I am easily overwhelmed by things like bright lights, strong smells, coarse fabrics, and sirens close by. This coarse fabrics and sensory is quite common, by the way. I have a rich, complex inner life. So here is the upside, by the way, of sensitivity, the very deep. I am made uncomfortable by loud noises. I am deeply moved by arts and music. I am conscientious. I startle easily. I get rattled when I have a lot to do in a short amount of time. When people are uncomfortable in a physical environment, they tend to know what needs to be done to make it more comfortable, like changing the lighting or the seating. I am annoyed when people try to get me to do too many things at once. I try hard to avoid making mistakes or forgetting things. I make it a point to avoid violent movies and TV shows. I am unpleasantly aroused when a lot is going on around me. Being very hungry creates a strong reaction in me, disrupting my concentration or mood. Changes in my life shake me up. I notice and enjoy delicate scents, fine scents, tastes, sounds, and works of art. I make a priority to arrange my life to avoid upsetting and overwhelming situations. And when I must compete or be observed while performing a task, I became so nervous or shaky that I do much worse than I do otherwise. And finally, when I was a child, my parents or teachers seemed to see me as sensitive or shy. If you have most of these answers, so these are affirmative, then most likely you have HSP, and it's really good to work on it and to deal with it, to accept it, to use it as a vehicle for future personal growth. Bracha v'atzlacha.